Now, if you would, just take a few minutes to allow yourself to just be in this wonderful moment, in the energy of these wonderful light beings that are present here today, and take that journey within, the journey home, and spend a few sacred moments in the silence. And O Divine Mother, Divine Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to gather together, to share in our oneness with you and with each other, and awaken within all of us a greater vision to behold more of your beauty, of your goodness, of your peace, everywhere we go. And open our minds to a greater understanding of your truth. And open our hearts so that your love may reside in abundance and flow out to everyone and everything that we come into contact with. May we ever be channels of your blessings. And for this wonderful gift and for the gift of this beautiful day and life, we say thank you. And amen. Another journey coach taking over there. We seem to have a very loving group, and I always try to get guidance and meditation on what to do and not to do in each moment. And so Gandhi, who's a big idol of mine that I look up to, said, if you don't find God in the next person that you meet, it's a waste of time looking any further. And so right now, this is something that we do. And we try to keep it because it can go on and on and on to within a reasonable length of time so we can get everything else in. But I invite you now to stand up and just take a moment to practice Gandhi's thing of beholding God in every person that's here in a warm hug or whatever you're comfortable with. As I was saying, the downside that you get hit with this is once you get everybody up and hugging, it's hard to get them back. Yeah, that's what happens. Oh yeah. I'll use the Bill technique. Yeah. Well, one thing I like about that exercise. Yeah. Oh yeah. But that just proves that we have wisdom, which is a valuable gift. But what we're most after and what makes us impacts us the most is that feeling, isn't it? See how we all feel after death? That's why nobody wants to stop, because it just feels so good. And so when we can combine the wisdom of our mind with that open heart energy and walking that all the time, I think that's that balance that the mystics were always talking about for us to try to work to achieve. Too much of one and we're just blissed out all the time. Too much of the other when we're in our head all the time. And, you know, we're one of the mystics that lives in the cave that has all this wisdom, but what good is it unless it's shared and embraced? So I'd like to start with a story of the monkeys. And not the group. Oh. Yeah. Back a long time ago when representatives from the English Botanical Society and stuff wanted to try to get some of the species to bring them back to the zoos, they were trying, how can we capture these small monkeys and not harm them? And so they came up with this idea where they took these bottles and they put nuts down in the bottles. And so the monkeys could just barely get their hand when they went like this to get inside that bottle to grab the nut. But then when they grabbed the nut and they got a clenched fist, they couldn't get their hand back out. And so they were trapped there. And so it reminds me so much of how our illusions can be. That we can grasp onto something and want it so badly and hold on to it so tightly that we become bound to that. And as you say with your Awake and Free song, in order to, when you wake up, in order to be free, we have to be willing to let go of those things, be thankful that they served us for the time that we needed them, but be willing to let go and open the hand up so that we can be free again. And another way I talked about it is, if you have change and you have it in your hand like this, you can accumulate more and more. But when you go like this and you bring it into yourself and turn it down like this, it's mine. As soon as you let go in that direction, it's gone. And that's what the ego is afraid of. It's afraid of when you get something, whether it's a truth, it's a relationship, or anything that's comfortable, and you grasp onto it, it's afraid that as soon as I let go of that and give it freedom, it's going to fall and be away from me and I'll never get it back again. But the answer is just to flip it. And you can still have it within your hand, but it's open and free, and you're allowed to get more from the universe. Because that's the trap of this ego, is when you clasp this way and you hold on, there's no room. The universe wants to give you all these beautiful gifts, all these new experiences, greater love, greater joy, and where's it going to put it? But when you're like this, open, open-hearted, open. And we find this so many times with when people meet. With us light workers, it's not so much of a thing, but when you get out, so many people are in this kind of a situation that when they come in, they're so full of their good opinion, as Wayne Dyer would put it, that there's no room for anybody else's. And so when they come in to connect with someone and have a connection, they can't plug into the connection because they're like this. Well, if they could just open up and say, here's my truths, I share them with you, but I'm open to yours. And we both can agree to take what we like and what serves us and walk away with what doesn't. What a difference. It's the same thing. It's just a matter of flipping the perspective on it. And so this journey starts with what? What's the first thing you have to do when you're going to take a journey?
Pack.
Yeah? But even before you pack, you got to pick a destination, right? Because you don't know what to pack for. If you're going to the tropics, you pack one thing. You're going up to Antarctica, or, you know, well, down to Antarctica. You know, going somewhere it's really cold, you're going to pack completely different gear. And so the first thing we have to do is pick a destination. So when we do that, what? Yeah, well, that's true. That helps you to make a good choice of destination. Yeah. And so once you pick the destination, the direction, the next thing we do is we look for, well, how am I going to get there? If it's a physical trip, you go and you type in your favorite, you know, Expedia or Kayak or whatever service you use, and you find a flight, or maybe we'll take a cruise there because the cruise will be even cheaper and we get to do all the stuff on the boat. But you look at your choices and you pick your route of how you're going to get there. If it's somewhere close, we just, you know, look, oh, Franklin, easy drive, get on the highway, drive all the way over and just get off and we're here. But you still have to pick your route after you pick your destination, right? And so herein comes another thing with flexibility. As we're journeying, we pick a goal. At any time in our life, we have certain things that seem so important to us. Remember when you're young and that first crush comes in how important, oh, it's the most important thing now. It's like, oh, it's an old memory. But we have, there's that job that, oh, we get out of school and it's that first big career thing and it's all about that job and moving forward and all that. And then it's like, ah, you know, that served me for the time, but there's more to life than that. And we keep picking new destinations because our soul is saying, there's something more. Explore. Be curious, like Jesus invoked us. Be like the little child. Open-minded, curious. Explore, because the kingdom of heaven is all around you and within you. And so, as we do that, we pick a destination route. Have you ever found that you start off, it was kind of in your thing that you were reading, you start off with one thing, and this is what I'm zoned in, I've got my thing, I got my goal, I've read my things about the seven tips to do in the believing and you'll achieve it and all these things and all the, you know, the great minds that have come before it tell us how to manifest things, and we set out on that road and all of a sudden the detour opens up. And do we have to take the detour?
No.
No? But we're walking along, and all of a sudden, it's like, I'm going over here. I've got, you know, I have to go through this in my business all the time. My wife and I have a home remodeling company, and we always have a list this long of things for the day to do. But then there's those opportunities. You go along, and thinking, okay, I've got to click, click, click to get all this in. And there's this opportunity. There's somebody in the line, in the store. And there's a chance they need something, or you can be helpful, and you take a chance and you connect. And it might be a 20-minute conversation that's going to put you behind your list. But it can be the most enriching 20 minutes of the entire day. And it's those detours, those magical things like taking the wrong turn on the way to the concert, that are constantly, that's where that magic in life, that's where the universe works its best magic. And so we have to have this balance between direction, because with no direction, we'll just flounder all over the place. But with our direction, to keep that flexibility, that guidance of our intuition, intuitively say, you know, something's telling me I need to stop over here and connect with this person. And if you get that message, you can listen to it. We all get it. I know you guys are all intuitive. I can see the lights coming on from you. And it's a foregone conclusion. But we still have that logical choice. Do we listen to it or we say, I don't have time for that? You know? Got to get in a hurry. Get this stuff done. Now see, this one never gets in a hurry. Just constantly living in the moment all the time, just being in bliss. So we have that balance. So, you know, I've got a couple of my friends back in Asheville that just live in bliss so much that they never get anything done and they wonder where the rent money is going to be. But it's that balance of taking all these things and keeping them all in harmony. And that's a word that really, it's not used enough in our society, I think, is harmony. Harmony is a blending. You take one note and it's beautiful, but when you blend other things with it, it creates this beautiful symphony of sound. And it's keeping everything in your life where it's in harmony. The notes are blending. Because if we have contradictory thoughts, we're creating a disharmony, which is going to resonate as a dis-ease somewhere, either disease of stress in the mind or disease somewhere in the body. So when we can keep all these things in a state of harmony within ourselves, that's when we're in that state, when everything, athletes call it the zone, we call it bliss, feeling the spirit, whatever term, but it's when all these things are in harmony. And if you notice sometimes that we start off, I think it's so funny when someone comes up, you know, I tried these things, you know, I knew they weren't going to work, but I tried them anyway, and I tried this positive thinking stuff and the affirmations, but it didn't change a thing. And it's like, well, no, because your belief system is saying this stuff's a bunch of crap and it's not going to work, but you're trying to do it anyway. There's a conflict. There's a disharmony. Is that going to make wonders in your life? No. It's when you bring everything together. And so, on this journey, there's a balance of what we pick, isn't there? Logically, we choose, like today, we said we're going to come over to Franklin. Never been inside this building before. But we picked the destination. Now that we're here, it's all our choice of how we interact and what we make this time together. It's our conscious choice. And so everything that we encounter is much the same way. We start off with things, but where they go, where they lead,
important to incorporate that higher spiritual vision. We have a logical mind. It's very effective. It's very good for keeping up with anything. You know, thank goodness we don't have to think every time we want to breathe or take a heartbeat or anything like that. It's done for us automatically. And so our mind is a wonderful thing, but when we have our intuitive higher senses active, and we affirm that, you know, wherever I go today, guide me to be in the right place at the right time to be of service. If that's our number one mantra, that's our number one destination, our number one goal, then all the sub-journeys and all the sub-things we take are going to be influenced by that. And so, someone just got back from Italy. I was talking, I know you had to have some magical experiences in Italy. Because the great thing about traveling is it takes you out of all those norms, all those habits that we tend as human beings to get locked into. We get up, we have our smoothie or whatever our thing that we like for breakfast, and we do our normal activities, and we get locked into habits. And when you go on a trip like that, all those things are gone, and you're somewhere different with new people, and you're just so open. And didn't you have some really wonderful, magical things happen to you on that trip?
Oh, sure. I was with family, so... I found out we all have some of the same annoying traits.
Yeah, that's part of the truth. That is definitely part of the truth.
that maybe I should work on.
Yeah. And so, this is the way it is with all of us, is as we're on this grand journey, is to be reminded of those things. It's like one of my favorite things Wayne Dyer used to say is, my greatest teacher is not someone you would recognize. It's the woman that pulls in front of me and drives 10 miles an hour when I'm in a hurry. That's my greatest teacher.
Oh, yes.
And I try to remind myself to be grateful for that teacher. And that's where my humanity comes in. And so, when you look at all these things, see, there's a choice. Some people could look at this as, oh, that's distracting. They're running around and distracting. Or, it's a wonderful blessing. Yay!
Yes,
and you incorporate a new role with it. And this is the way it is with our life. I can guarantee you it's never worked for me, and I've been around here for 56 years now. When you set parameters, our mind wants to set up expectations of how everything's going to be and plan out every little detail. Has it ever gone exactly the way that you planned on anything? No.
And so, saying if you want to hear about a map, tell them your plans.
That's exactly it. So that's our thing, is to be. The Buddha had it right with, man, your attachments. You know, if you can free yourself from this attachments and expectations of outcome, then you'll find the bliss you're looking for. And trying to tell that to the staunch upper left Englishman at the time on that.
Yeah.
The Buddhists were kind of visiting, it's like, we want to learn of your wisdom, and they're trying to tell them that, you know, that. We have to have that. We rule the entire world. So, it's this kind of thing with us. So, I always ask myself as I've worked with this, any truth that I look at, is it really truth, or is it a truth that's part of the greater truth? And I think that's where our conflict of things is, we get so locked into one truth that when it overlaps with something else, we're not willing to make that jump where it overlaps. And so, I think that's what they were really trying to say. It's taken the wrong way a lot of times, but in the Bible, when they said truth is like a double-edged sword, I think that's what they were really taking, is if we take any truth and we take it to such an extreme, it cuts. And we see that in some of the things and conflicts in society today with extremism, where they take something so far. It doesn't matter whether it's the Muslim religion, the Christian Jesuits, whatever the thing is, when we take something so far and so literal, the truth and don't see it as part of the greater truth, that's when it cuts. That's when it can change. Not a good catch. Alright. And don't feel bad, Pope already knocked one over earlier. And I tripped and unplugged his guitar earlier, so we're all on the same journey. So yeah. So I invite all of you, as you're walking through this journey of life, our first thing is our head wants to take everything too serious. We lock into. I'm not following it anyway.
Right with you.
That was perfect timing.
I brought three talks, and I'm not doing any of the three. So, you know, I started off, and it just, the Spirit says, say this, and you just go. But, so, that's very appropriate.
Yes.
And so, as we set our goals, and we set our activities, to be open to what Gandhi was saying, that every time that you see someone, there's a part of God. And sometimes we need a little distance from those parts of God for a while, because it's like, there's boundaries to be set. You know, there are people that are still, even though they're the child of God, they're still locked in a pattern of being an energy vampire. And they will just drain you of everything that you have, and you have to set a healthy boundary with people like that. But it's not to judge them. It's not to push them off and see them as being separate. It's just saying that this is what I have to give at this moment right now. And it goes beyond that. I have to have a healthy boundary so I can recharge to be able to give to other people. Because this one person is not the only person in all of existence that needs energy from me. So it's just setting a healthy, discriminating boundary, but not judgment. Not saying, oh, you unenlightened poor soul. No. Judgment. The second we come into judgment, and we take anything and create separateness, that's where all the things we're trying to experience is oneness. And I love something that Wayne Dyer says, division divides. Multiplication or addition adds. And so with our energy, what are we doing? Are we adding? Are we taking what we have and allowing things to grow, to add? Or are we dividing through judgments? Oh, I can hang out with you because you guys got it. You're light workers, but I can't talk to a Baptist. I can't handle that. Mm-hmm. No, you can. There's still, you just stay away from certain subjects if you want to have a pleasant time. But they're all, we all have this oneness. We all share a community. And we share a greater community of this planet. And how this planet fits into the universe is another whole long thing. But we're all in this journey together. And so I invite you, the number one trap of the logical mind is to try to form, we see it starting in schools. As soon as we send a child off and they go to school, they see the cliques. There's the cheerleaders, the jocks, the nerds, the geeks, the ones that are kind of in between. Where do I find my niche to fit in with? No, you don't have to be a niche. You can be all of them or none of them. You know, and I admire my son got that so clearly, and he went to school one time in his bedroom slippers. And no one had said a word to him, you know? But that's the thing, he didn't want to be boxed in to have to be one thing or another. And so I invite you to live outside of the pre-programmed choices. I think the number one thing that the illusions do to us, advertising certainly does it, is to try to give us a limited number of choices and make us feel like we have to pick from those limited number of choices. Are you this or are you that? Well, maybe I'm both and maybe I'm neither. Are you this or are you that? Do you want a really trained waitress, she'll say, which dessert do you want? She won't ask, do you want dessert? Which one of these desserts did you want? Trying to influence you to pick one of them. It's like, well, no, thank you, but I actually choose, I've had enough food, I don't want dessert right now. It's that kind of thing, to not be trapped. So I'd like to leave you with this little fun exercise. It's a riddle. And the answer is outside the box.
Obviously.
Right. Okay. Good. So you come up to a bus stop and you see an elderly person that's really in need of aid. They need to be rushed immediately to the hospital. And you've got your car. You have a one seat car, one passenger seat, not no back seat. So you have a choice. There's the person that needs aid that needs to get rushed to the hospital. Then you see an old friend that you haven't seen in years that just happened to be at that bus stop. And it's like, oh, is this a chance to connect with my friend again? Or you're there and just instantly there's this past life connection, and there is your soulmate. At the bus stop, you know if you leave in that moment, you might not ever find that soulmate again. But you only have room for one passenger in your car. So what do you do?
Get off the bus.
What?
Wait for the bus, so you can all go together.
I like that one.
I'll get her phone. Yeah. All those, you know, you guys got it. But most people are trapped in it, thinking you have to, I got to put somebody in the car with me and take them. And since the person needs to get rushed to the hospital, it would be selfish of me to spend time with my friend or my soulmate, so I need to take that person to the hospital and take care of them and take my chances. I'll reconnect.
Get them the car.
That's the idea. Get your best friend to take your car, put the person that needs the aid, let them drive to the hospital and wait on the bus with their soulmate. There you go. And that's when we really take life and we look at it as this fun, wonderful experience. And we get set, because things are going to happen. You're going to get hit, whether it's today, it might be in bliss all day today, but sooner or later, life is going to throw some test or some tribulation thing for you to look at, or family members in Italy. And so you've got this test of, how do I handle this? And that same line of thinking outside, how can I solve this where everyone wins? Goodness gracious, if we could get politicians to look at them, wouldn't it be wonderful? Everyone can win. There's always a choice if you look far enough where everyone can come out in a good situation. So as light workers, that's one of my things I think is most important for us, is to look for those kind of solutions, to think outside the box and be that example. And we're going to sing a song coming up right now, one called Be the Change, right after we do another song of Pope's. But to be that change we wish to see in the world. And thank all of you for being light workers with open hearts and taking this challenge of taking our paradigm of truth and beauty and trying to manifest it out so it just grows and grows. And thank all of you for being those kind of light workers. God bless you. That was my big lesson I had to learn, was trust the universe. It'll always be there when you need it. And it is, once again. In order, actually. Yeah. So, good.
Thank you, Robert, for that message. Appreciate it. I think Barbara calls it being a scoundrel, being outside the box. That's what she said. She called me a scoundrel, and I said, well, what does that mean? And she says that you have to do everything your way. I don't know how she knew that, but okay. You know, we're going to just do a couple of other songs, two more songs, and this one is, I started thinking, you know, we all want to do something to make a difference, and in this world these days, we really feel, I do anyway, like there's a lot of things that need to be different, okay, that I would be a lot happier if there were things that were different, and how can I do something about that? And what I realized, you know, is that there are very few things that we really can do to change things in a big way, on the big issues of the world. Well, we can do one thing, and that one thing is that we can be kind. We can be kind. We can do that. And that makes probably as much difference as anything else we could possibly do. So this song is called Just Be Kind.
Well, Bill, we will turn this back over to you for announcements and anything else you need to do.